Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, October 27th. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. Now, recognize that it's early for many people out there in radio land or internet land, but please, if you are awake, have one eye open, one ear listening, do listen, and do call in. No question is too general, too silly, too stupid, or whatever you say to yourself. Please call in. This program is for you. Again, it's 888-773-4496. You may also access this program through Blog Talk Radio number of 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Send us your email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Also, I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton, Sutton-Associates.net. That's Sutton-Associates.net. And sign up. In his newsletters and podcast, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You'll benefit by it, folks. I can guarantee you, don't wait until it is too late. Liberty Talk Radio podcasts are archived and available from our website, but are also accessed via iTunes and Twitter under @LibertyJoe for your listening convenience. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our show. My name is Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. And this morning, we are so pleased to have Dr. Adrian Moore, Vice President of Policy, the Reason Foundation, to be our guest, who will be coming on at 7 o'clock Central Time. We will be discussing privatization of roads, infrastructure, and transportation. This is a subject that people just do not understand. I, for one, do not understand all of it. I can't wait for him to be on the program. It is a privilege to have him. But before that, we have about 25 minutes, of which I like to rant for a while, as I normally do. So please, and during this time, please do call in. No problem whatsoever. All right? I noticed that we already have a caller. Let's see. I want to make sure if that is... let's see. Okay, very good. Now, this morning, I'd like to visualize for a moment. Right now, I am looking at a Zimbabwe dollar, which I had framed at the cost of almost $300. I did that because it is symbolic of who we are and where we are going. Now, the only difference between this Zimbabwe dollar and the dollar bill that you may have in your wallet is the Zimbabwe dollar denomination is $10 trillion, folks. Let me repeat that, $10 trillion with a T, dollars. It is not enough to buy a postage stamp. Just recently, when discussing the monetary situation with a friend of mine, I told him that I had a $10 trillion Zimbabwe dollar. And he said, strange, I have one also, but in the denomination of 100 trillion. That is hyperinflation. Now, we're not there, and we probably will never go that route. I mean, we know better than that, hopefully. But it does symbolize What could happen to a currency when there are no checks on a fiat system? And this is symptomatic of all fiat currencies. They eventually all revert to their intrinsic value of zero. This is what's interesting about the Zimbabwe dollar. And interesting about the fiat currency, which we truly don't appreciate because we have been educated, indoctrinated, schooled, whatever word you want to use. We have been convinced that the dollar is as good as gold. We've always heard that. We've been told that. It's as good as gold. It's the U.S. dollar. It is, in fact, the world's reserve currency. How could anything possibly go wrong? If you have the dollar, you are safe. Folks, those days are long gone. And it's a shame when I say that. You know, I say that actually with confidence these days, because I truly understand what that means. I see what our government is doing. I have experienced what our government is doing. Hey, I even ran for U.S. Congress a couple of times and saw a little bit about the backroom stuff that goes on. It is horrifying, if anything. Now, just think if our U.S. dollar depreciated by not trillions of times, but even four times. Not 100 trillion, just give me four. Just think if we woke up some morning and an announcement on our favorite news program went something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are announcing a bank holiday. A new currency will be forthcoming. For every four old dollars, you'll be issued one new dollar. That means if you had $1,000 in any dollar-denominated asset, it is now worth only $250. With the impoverishment of the middle class since World War II, the impoverishment of the middle class. Some people say the 1970s, that's probably more accurate. Could you imagine being one quarter as rich as you were before? This has happened several times during the past decade. Several times. Most notable would be Argentina, a place in which my friends have relatives, and they've kept me appraised of the situation. They have, in fact, worked out very well. What is truly interesting is that all of these facts are forward to us. They are provided to us. They are literally smacking in our face. I mean, any more, we would probably lose a tooth if it hit us any harder. And yet, the U.S. population, because we have faith in the U.S. dollar, refuse to recognize the actual condition of economic and financial affairs here in the United States. Could you imagine? I saw this video, and I thought it was absolutely fascinating. It was a comical video, beautifully done. I would give you the reference. I don't know what the reference is. And it was about a financial advisor in Europe being interviewed. It was a sort of click and clack type thing. And he asked, well, explain the economic situation in Greece and Italy and whatever. He says, well, you know, you have one country that's in debt and really can't afford anything, and they're virtually bankrupt, lending money to another country that can't pay any of its bills and providing them with money in the hopes of never getting paid back. I mean, when you think about the whole insanity of it, and then they have these meetings, you know, these conferences where they come back and they say, well, we will do everything to ensure, and we will da-da-da-da-da, and the markets actually rally on those words. But in substance, there is absolutely, absolutely no substance behind it. There's nothing to back it up. In fact, what is really interesting, the comments that we are receiving out of Europe, as well as our own country, are actually fiat statements. They're not backed by anything. their fiat statements backing up a fiat currency, both of which are going downhill. Can it be reversed? Absolutely can be reversed. Do we have the political will to do so? Absolutely not. My money says we're not going in that direction. It's a crying shame when you are sitting here during historic times, folks. These are historic times in which we are seeing the entire American empire, if you will, the entire American dream degrade slowly, like a frog in warm water, slowly degrade into oblivion. I wish I could fast forward 10 or 20 years. I probably won't be alive by then, but 10 or 20 years, and read the book about the first decade of the 20th century. There are going to be dozens of them by notable economists who are living today who are saying absolutely nothing. And then we're going to say, what were these guys thinking? And it's going to be so plain. It's going to be read by many people and say, oh, yeah, geez, boy, those people are awfully stupid. Why couldn't they see this? Why couldn't they see that? It's obvious that blah, 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 blah. And yet, we do absolutely nothing. I am reluctant to ever bring up current financial affairs or economic affairs with anyone because their attitude would be antagonistic. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? What do you mean? What are you kidding me? What are you, a communist? Yeah. And they go nuts. I avoid it like the plague. You know, you're talking about, no, don't talk to me. I know nothing. I don't want to know anything, you know. I play dumber than they are. And I say dumb, but I should say more ignorant than they are. Just because of the belief system that we have developed or it's been perpetrated on us over the years by our school system, by our peers, by our government, by our elected officials, by our news media of all places. I used to give very, very generously to National Public Radio. I mean, very generously. They got big checks from me all the time. And I still enjoy their programming. A few years ago, I stopped giving. Now, in the interest of making myself feel better, I give now the same amount to another station, which is public radio station, that plays classical music, the classical music station. So I support that. I listen to classical music. Plus rock and roll, by the way. Yeah, I love hard rock and roll. I like to play the drums and stuff like that. But I also love classical music. So I give to class because I do listen to it. And I feel justified doing that. But I stopped giving to the public, National Public Radio, the local station here, only because they only interview Keynesian economists. Only. And the other day, it just incensed me. When they were talking about the Republican debate, and they provided the listener with the pros and cons from their perspective of each candidate in detail, and not once mentioned Ron Paul's name. It can't be they go, oops, I'm sorry. The person who wins all the straw polls, you know, we're not going to mention him. Oops. It can't happen. Because all of the stations do that. So I put National Public Radio together with all of the mainstream media, which they should not be. They should not be. They should be even more on our side because we're supporting them. At least a certain percentage we're supporting, like 40% or so. And yet they react the same way. And the same stupidity and the way they try to blind us. So people who are intelligent, I mean, you don't find the uneducated listening to NPR radio, quite frankly. You find the more educated audience. I mean, it's unfortunately, that's the way it is. I'm not just spouting that because, oh, I'm so educated. I'm not. But you do find a more educated audience. And yet the more educated audience is no more intelligent regarding our economic structure, where we are going, and economic logic. I'm talking about economics 101, Eco 101 than the rest of the population. They've done a, they, whoever they are, has done a perfect, beautiful job. And the only thing they've ever done very efficiently is the dumbing of America. Everything else, out the window. Let's stop for station identification just for a second. And I'm going to get a little bit of coffee in my veins so I can get myself going here. And then we'll continue our program.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. Our toll-free number is 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. On our switchboard so far, we do have one caller. But remember, if you want to participate in the program, make a comment or have a question, you must press the one button. You know, press one, and then I'll acknowledge you that you want to. You'll acknowledge to me that you want to be on the air. If not, you can listen in. Please join in. It's my dime, and that's just fine. That's what this program's all about. You can call 888-773-4496. Your comments, please, to comments at libertytalkradio.com. And remember, there is no such thing, especially this program, is, oh, that was a silly question. I'm interrupting you. I didn't want, felt silly calling him. Please don't do this. This program is for you. I expend a lot of money and a lot of effort for this program. I ain't doing it for me. I'm doing it for you. I know what I know. I'm trying to impart some information and at least encourage some understanding and dialogue and discussion of what the issues really are. All right. Enough about the Zimbabwe dollar. Oh, and by the way, right next to the Zimbabwe dollar, I also have another framed piece of currency, which is a gold certificate from 1926. And on it says something along the lines, I don't want to take it off the wall now, but also framed for a few hundred dollars. The bearer of this note, in exchange, you know, presented to the Treasury, is eligible for the like amount of gold, you know, in gold, upon presentation or something like that. You know, in other words, all it was is a receipt. It was a receipt for gold. Our currency used to be a receipt for gold. That's all it was. You can go to Treasury, give them a dollar, $5, $10, $20, $100, $1,000, whatever, and then they would give you, based on what the gold price was at the time, it was established by the government, by the way, and they would give you that gold, and you would walk out, everyone was happy, and that was it. That was good as gold. Today, you go to Treasury, say, hey, I want something for this. They say, get off of here before I have the guards carrying you off. All right? Understand that. Please understand that. We are going to talk a little bit about, not a little bit, but that's what we're going to talk about, hopefully, is our infrastructure, especially roads. I heard, now, Jesse Ventura, I have a lot of respect for. He took the path no one else wanted to take, and I applaud him for it. But most of these people, you know, who are running for office and who are convinced they're doing good, still need to educate themselves as to why they believe what they believe, so they have a core foundation, so they're not sort of half this and half that. You know, half free market, but maybe not half free, you know, and all this other. And Jesse Ventura, and again, I'm not knocking him. I mean, I really enjoy listening to him, and I applaud everything that he has done. But this is an indication of what happens when people don't truly understand the precepts of liberty. About a year ago, on a television interview, they asked him if he's a libertarian. He says, yeah, I'm a libertarian, but he says, I'm the real libertarian. These guys are nuts. He says, you know, they want to privatize roads. He says, you know, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. He says, you know, I own a lot of property. He said, you know, if you want to privatize roads, I'll build a road. And he said, right through my property. He says, I'll put a toll on it, and I'll charge the heck out of everyone who goes through there. And he says, so these guys are nuts. Well, just think. Think of what this guy just said. I mean, no, he should think about what he just said, not me. Let's say he does have this piece of property, and he does build a road. And but the American thinking, now we don't think critically. We go, oh yeah, man, that's, he makes a good point. You know what I mean? You know, instead of saying, makes no sense. All right, let's say he has this big piece of property, and let's assume for a second it's 1 mile long. Just for the sake of discussion, it could be any length at all. How much do you think it would cost to build a road that would take any amount of traffic a mile long? I have no idea, but it's got to be in the millions. I mean, or at least close to it. Maybe mega, I don't know. I mean, it's incredibly expensive. You see small road repairs, and it's millions of dollars. Let's say it's $1 million. It's just for the sake of discussion. So he plops down $1 million for this road. Right? All right. So he's out $1 million. Now what he's got to do is that he's got to put a toll booth on it or something, or some. He has to pay someone there to collect the money. But, you know, he's not going to make any money. The traffic's not that heavy. So he can't charge 25 cents. He's got to charge a few dollars for every car to go this 1 mile. Now, just think, you're driving in a car, you say, oh, there's a shortcut. I'm going to take the Jesse Ventura Boulevard. And you go there and you stop by the toll booth. And the guy says, that'll be $5. And you say, $5 to where? To the end of the road, you know, 1 mile down the road. You go, $5 for, he says, you know, I'll take an alternate route. Thank you very much. You back up, you're out of there. Right? How many cars, how many people do you think at the end of every day are going to pay the few dollars or whatever he wants for it, I mean, to cover his expenses, to break even, even to break even only, you know, on a daily basis? I suspect probably none. And if it's one or two, but people that just made a mistake and they'll never do it again. What did I do that for? I mean, like I do so many times. In other words, it would be so costly for this guy on a day-to-day basis. He'll have to pay taxes on the road. And how about maintenance? Maintenance is incredibly expensive. How about the toll booth operator or the electronic operator, you know, the gizmo that he has there, and the repairs on it? And what if someone decides, screw Jesse, you know, I don't like the guy in the first place, and rams the place and then breaks it, and he has to have it repaired? Now, how does he collect the tolls while it's being repaired? You know, I can go on for an hour on this thing, which I won't persist it. However, this, in fact, is the problem. Is no one thinks. Our problem is not the government. Our problem is not the banks. Our problem is not economics. The problem that we have today is, in fact, us. I had a program once. I said, they won. They won. And people said, what do you mean they won? You know, they won, you know. And who's the they? I said, the they is us. We won. This place is going downhill quick because of us. Because if we knew how to think, we would never reelect anybody in office for the first term. It would be their last term, whether we liked them or not. We say, nope, get them out of there. If we ever thought logically and critically, we wouldn't have any of the problems we have now. If we had a president that did anything unconstitutional, every one of us would be saying to the Congress, saying, impeach. I'm not talking about Obama. I'm talking anyone. I don't care. You name it, the president. And I think the only last real president we had was Jack Kennedy, by the way. And by the way, I'm not a Democrat. And you know what happened to him, unfortunately. But it's us because of the way we think. I'm sure that everyone, a rare exception, who heard Jesse Ventura says, you know, man, he's got a good point. You know, libertarian's okay, but, you know, they're too radical. They don't think. And that's what drives me nuts. People don't think. Now, am I brilliant? Am I a great philosopher, you know, thought-provoking? No, I'm not. It hurts for me to think. I tell you, you know what I like to do? I like to go to Starbucks in the morning, get on my motorcycle at my age, put my backpack on, my Apple computer in my backpack, get on my G650, I love doing that, and I zip down to Starbucks, undress with all my RoboCop stuff, sit there, sit by the door, and evaluate all the pretty girls that come in. I mean, that to me is fun. I mean, that's what I do. I'm no genius or anything like that, and I'm a philosopher. I'm not sitting home reading Dante or anything. I don't do that. I do read an awful lot. I'm reading all day long. But I'm trying to at least try to understand, say, what's the matter with my brain? Why can't I understand this? We don't do that. We would rather watch television. And that in itself will be the reason for our demise. It's going to be our demise, and we are going to go, folks. And when we do, the sorrowful part of the whole thing is that it will come to us as a surprise. Yeah, it'll come to us as a surprise. We'll say, geez, how did that happen? What? I didn't know. The fact is, we did know. What the one thing we did very effectively, folks, is that we rejected all of the signs. We rejected the law of nature. We rejected the law of economics. We rejected the law of logic, of critical thinking. Every law that is inherent in us, in us as human beings, we rejected as being, oh no, man, that's radical, man. And we actually, whether we like to believe it or not, believe in what we hear. I can't tell you how many times I'll be speaking with a person who I consider a lot smarter than me, a lot better educated than I do. They have all sorts of names, letters after their names. And when I hear them, I go, person's not thinking. How could that be? Person's got a master's degree in such and such. He's got a PhD. He's a such and such. And he said that. I can't believe it. I've heard financial advisors say things that make me shake. I can't listen to them because it's wrong. It's unnatural. And yet we accept those statements as true. And then we live those out. We behave accordingly. And someday we will be very, very shocked when something bad happens. Now, I'm not saying the end of the world is coming, that the money will be worth nothing. And all, but it will get worse and worse. But we don't know it's getting worse. And it has been for 30, 40 years, at least 40 years. At least 40 years it's been getting worse. In fact, I spoke with a fellow yesterday. Interesting guy. He was abandoned by his parents, lived in a boys' home, worked his way through college, excellent marks, got a beautiful degree. I mean, he's a wonderful person. And he said, you know, when I was young, I made $3 an hour, had a little house, bought some land, and I owned a car. You made $3 an hour? If you made $30 an hour today, $30, 10 times the amount, you bought a car, you bought a house, you bought some land, you can't do it. You'd be in bankruptcy. You'd be joining the Enron group. The Enron club, I should say. I mean, we don't say, my God, with the transition that we've been through. But it's been insidious, slow and insidious. And it's been eating away, literally eating away at us. And the part that's been eating away the most, it's been eating away our thought process. Our ability to think constructively because of revisionist history that we are bombarded with since we are in elementary school. All of this needs to be eliminated. I spoke with a fella at the dog park the other day. He says, you know, I really like Ron Paul. He was talking about politics and whatever. I said, oh, that's surprising. He says, except me. He says, it's his position on education. He doesn't believe in education. He said, what about you? I said, I agree with him 100%. I said, if you're talking about government education, absolutely. And we talked for a while about what is education? What is thinking? What is understanding? What is knowledge? And this is the first time this has ever happened. The guy turns around. He's a young fella. In fact, he's an electronics expert, and he's going to Iraq to operate some machinery. He says, I hope he doesn't have to fire a gun or anything like that. But he said, I never thought of that way. He said, you're right. I almost died. No one's ever said that I'm right. No one. I even begged my wife one time to say, please tell me I'm right once. She says, never going to happen. Only kidding, folks. I'm only kidding on that one. That was supposed to be a joke. Ha, 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 laugh now. Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, now it is about 7 o'clock. Let's see. Is it about 7? It's about 7 o'clock. And we're going to see about Adrian Moore should be coming on. He's the vice president of policy for the Reason Foundation. We connected very in a very unusual manner, in that I was watching a interview with Dr. Moore, and they asked for comments. I never comment on that. There's a million videos and comments and Twitter and Facebook. I don't understand those things. But, you know, I decided to comment about roads. And I said, I have, can even perceive what we would have today, or the type of transportation, the form of transportation we would have today. Wouldn't be the same we have now. Nothing would be the same had it all been accomplished in the private sector and not the army. Now let's see if...